Today's shir is Masecht Bavasra, Daf Kuf Lamed Aled. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'is Bedam Echad. There was a story with one individual, Shlaya Hayabonav Noyagim Kishura, whose children weren't acting appropriately. Amad Bekosav Nechosav L'Yonisim B'Naziel. So he wanted to disinherit his children, and he wrote over his estate to Yonasan ben Aziel. Ma osu Yonasan ben Aziel? What did Yonasan ben Aziel do? Macha shlish. He sold a third of the property. Vehigdash shlish. And he was magdish a third of the property. Vehichsel abonav shlish. And he returned to the sons a third. And as the Rashbam explains the Gemara, Rav Yonasan ben Aziel wanted to show that what he had received was real, and that in fact, because it was really his, he had the right to give back a third to the sons. And the way he was able to show that was by first selling a shlish and being magdish a shlish. That clearly indicated that it was his, and therefore he had every right to do with it what he wants, including giving back a third of that estate to this person's children. The Ritva, along the same lines, explains that Yonasan ben Aziel wanted to be certain that the person was serious about giving him what he gave him, and that it wasn't just something that he didn't mean, as we'll see such a circumstance soon in our Gemara. So how did Yonasan ben Aziel know that it was really that way? By being magdish a shlish and selling a shlish, and the person not saying anything, that was a clear indication that the gift that was given to him was for real, and now he had a right to give back a third to this person's children. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer, following on this line of reasoning, says otherwise we would have a very fundamental problem in understanding our Gemara, because we just learned at the end of the previous year that one is not allowed to participate in the disinheriting of a child. So how could Yonasan ben Aziel participate here in allowing and being part of this situation that this person was disinheriting his children? Says the Chasam Sofer that we learned in the, we also quoted his opinion in the previous year, that only if one is giving away all of his, disinheriting his children entirely and completely avoiding Hilchas Yerusha is the halacha that one can't participate and can't be part of such a act. But here, where a third was going to be given back to the person's sons, that Rabbi Yonasan ben Aziel knew that was his ultimate plan, what to do here. Therefore, Yonasan ben Aziel felt comfortable in what he was doing. The Mefarshim, in fact, go on to say that perhaps was part of the intention of the father. The father wanted his children to actually do tshuva and act appropriately, and if they would do so, he would be happy that they should get a portion of his Yerusha. And he trusted 2 things to happen to make sure that would occur. Number one, his disinheriting them and giving the estate to Yonasan ben Aziel, he knew would get them to do tshuva. But moreover, he also recognized that Yonasan ben Aziel would be the kind of person that would be able to determine if, number one, the children did tshuva, and furthermore, when he identified and recognized that the children did tshuva, he would be the kind of person that would rightfully give them back a part of the estate. Ba'al of Shammai b'makli v'tamilai. Shammai, hearing what Yonasan ben Aziel did, came back, came with his stick and his pouch traveled to where Rabbi Yonasan ben Azir was to complain to him for what he was doing. The Gra says, B'makli b'tamiloi represent with his bekiyas and his harifas. He used all of his intellectual abilities to argue with Yonasan ben Azir. And he said to him, Amalai, Shammai. So Yonasan ben Azir said to Shammai, if you could undo what I sold and was I magdish, then you could suggest that when I gave the children this estate or the portion of the estate that their father had clearly not wanted me to do, then you could correctly argue argue that this that I gave him, this portion, should be undone. However, Imlav, since clearly the part that it was Magdish and the part that I sold was completely legitimate, similarly, you have no right to undo the part that I gave them, a third of the estate. In other words, Yonasan ben Azir was saying, the fact that I gave them, the fact that I was magdish a portion and sold a portion, is a clear indication that this estate is mine to do with as I please, and I had every right to give the children a portion of the estate, because I was giving them something that belonged to me, not what belonged to the father who had disinherited them. Amar, Shammai did not recognize that the fact that Yonasan ben Azir had sold and was magdish part of the estate should make it be considered a fulfillment of the terms of the kift, and that indeed Yonasan ben Azir was completely correct. And Omar, and now that Yonasan ben Azir pointed this out to Shammai, said Shammai, Hatiach alai ben Azir properly prevailed over me. Ask the Gemara Mikar my Sofer. But what initially caused Shammai to come and be concerned with what Yonasan ben Azir was doing? Answers the Gemara, because of an incident, Mishamas, the Beis Charan, the incident that happened in Beis Charan. The Tanan, as we learned in Mishnah, and Masechta Nedarim, Masa Beis Charan, Be'echad Shaya Aviv Mudar Haimana Imenu Hanoah. There was an incident, there was a son who had made a neder that his father could not have any benefit from him. And now the son was marrying off his son. And he wanted to figure out a way how his father, who was not allowed to have any benefit from him, could attend the wedding. So Amal Chaveri, he said to his neighbor, Hare Chotzer, the wedding hall, the wedding place, Usuda, the meal, the Sunalok b'matana, I want them to give them to you as a gift. And I'm giving them to you. The purpose of my doing this subterfuge is because I want to figure out a way how my father could participate in this wedding. So the neighbor said, if you're indeed giving me as a gift this entire, the wedding hall and the suda, I'm being magdish them. Amaloi. So the man said, I didn't give you this entire wedding party in order that you should be magdashit. So the neighbor said to me, you only gave it to me in order that your father and you should be able to drink and eat at this wedding, participate in the wedding, and be able to get along. Beroshay is a euphemism. He meant that I should be the one that will have done the Avera. You want, and I don't want to be a participant in this fraud. So at that point, Amr Chachamim, Kol Matanish Eina, any matana, that any gift that's not in the category Shemgdish Mukdeshes, that the recipient has the right to be Magdish that gift, Eina Matana. And therefore, Shammai, similarly, assumed that when Yoinus ben Aziel was giving the gift to these people's children, all he was doing was really acting as a subterfuge, because the father regretted the fact that he made a neder, or that he disinherited his children, and he was upset that Yoinus ben Aziel was participating in it, just like that individual should not participate in the story of Beis Charan. But Yoinus ben Aziel said that the situation is very different. There, the person who gave the neighbor the gift had no intention that the neighbor should have any ownership in the gift. Here, clearly, I have ownership in the gift. The best proof is that I was able to be magdish a part of it, and I was able to sell a part of it. The Sfasemis says, based on this Gemara, interesting Shaila, Laloch Lamaisa, he says that our Gemara is teaching us that in order to be considered a true owner of an item, you have to have real, pure ownership. As the Gemara says, how do we know that you have real ownership? That if you were magdish something, that you have the right to be magdish that item. So the Sfasemis says, Laloch Lamaisa, we know the din is that Pesach by night, we're supposed to eat matzah, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and the halach is that we're supposed to own the matzah that we eat, says the Sfasemis. To what degree must one own that matzah? Our Gemara, says the Sfasemis, has taught us that ownership means real ownership, and therefore, says the Sfasemis, the halach would be, the halach should be that if somebody's having guests at his home for the Seder, he should be careful to be makna, to make a real kinyan of ownership in the matzahs that his guests will be eating. The matzahs that the family members will be eating, the Paiskim discuss, is less of an issue. The reason it's less of an issue is because since they're part of my family and they're always eating on my table, so this is the food, the members of my family, as far as that is concerned also. But if I have guests who are not members of my family, the halach is one should be makna to them the matzahs. And in fact, the Paiskim discuss, according to the Sfasemis, perhaps the kinyan should take place on Erev Pesach, because we know that, as we have learned many times, one is really not supposed to make a kinyan on Yontif. So if the guests are only going to show up for the Seder, he should do a kinyan through a third party in order that the guests should really be able to mekayim mitzvahs matzah properly. Tosfos asks, based on this Gemara, we know the Gemara Masechta Sukkos discusses this issue many times, that the Gemara says that, let's say someone doesn't own his own esrig, how could he be mekayim mitzvahs dalad minim? By somebody who owns an esrig giving the esrig to the recipient with a matana amanas lahachzer, that he gives it to him with the condition that he return it. Ask Tosfos, obviously if I give someone my esrig just for a few minutes that it should be mekayim mitzvahs dalminim, I don't intend that he should be able to be magdish my esrig. And Al Gemara just said that if you own something and you can't be magdish it, it's not considered that you own it. So why is this an acceptable solution? So Tosfos answers that actually during the couple of moments that the person has the esrig, that I let him have the esrig, he could do whatever he wants with it, included being magdishit. So he is able to fulfill the conditions as set forth in our Gemara. The Re, Tosfos quotes the Re, that gives a different answer. The Re says, this is the way at least I understand what the Re is saying, the Re says you need to look at every circumstance. In the circumstance of the story of Beis Charan, where it was clear that the person was giving his neighbor the wedding party only to create a subterfuge, so there the Gemara is teaching us that since he's not the real owner, and the proof that he's not the real owner is that he can't be magdashit, that's the proof that it really wasn't a gift, and that the father certainly cannot participate in the wedding. Whereas, in the case of the esrig, a matana menas la'achzer. Even though the person who I gave my esrog to will not be able to be magdish the esrog during those couple of minutes, because he certainly has to return it to me, that doesn't change the fact that during those couple of minutes that he has the esrog, I really am comfortable with him having true and total ownership of the esrog. So it's not the fact that he can or can't be magdashit, which is the crucial factor. The factor that we have to consider is that I really mean that he should have it, as the case of the esrog, versus the case where I didn't really mean that he should have it, the case of Beis Charan. The Ramban, as explained by many achronim, says a very interesting lomdasha teretz. He says, when we learned Hilchas Gittin, when we learned Masechta Gittin, we found two different concepts in halach in a get. One was a situation which was known as a shiur, which meant if somebody gives his wife a get and he says that I'm giving it to you on the condition that you should not be allowed to marry this individual, then the halach is the get's not a valid get. But certainly we also learned the Masechta Gittin that if somebody who attaches a tanai, a stipulation to the get is a valid get. What's the difference between a shiur and a tanai? Explain the achronim. A shiur represents that the transfer wasn't a complete transfer. A tanai doesn't limit, doesn't affect the actual transfer. The transfer is a complete transfer. There's a stipulation. Says Seidei Rishonim D'Achronim, that's the difference between the case of Beis Charan and the case of Esrog V'Matana Menas L'Achzer. In the case of Beis Charan, where the neighbor received the wedding party, but it was given to him that you can't do whatever you want with it, so it represents a situation where he isn't the owner. It's a shiur, and a shiur prevents the transfer from being a proper transfer. Whereas by the esrig, the matana is a full-fledged matana. When I give somebody else my esrig, I'm giving him a full-fledged matana. I'm nas lachzer, I attach the condition, they have to return it. But it doesn't limit the transfer, and that's why it's a valid matana, and the person can be mekayim mitzvos talminim with that esrig. So the Gemara, since we mentioned Yonis and Ben Uziel, the Gemara discusses Yonis and Ben Uziel for a moment. And his colleagues. Tan Rabban, Shmainim Talmidim, Hoyloi Lehil Azokin. Hil Azokin had 80 Talmidim. Shlosh Mem Ruim Shetisha Leim Shechina Kamash Rabbeinu. 30 of them were so great that the Shechina could have rested on them as it rested on Moshe Rabbeinu. As the Chassam Sofer, that we know there's a pasuk in the Torah, V'loikam Navi B'Yisrael Kamasha. There was never somebody as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So how can we say they were as great as Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Chassam Sofer differentiates between the concept of Nevuah and the concept of Ashrah Shechina. The Gemara means here that they were on the Madrega of Ashrah Shechina, but not regarding Nevuah. Why, says the Rashbam, didn't the Shechina rest on them? Because their generation, the time that they lived in, they weren't people that were worthy that the Shechina should rest on them. Explain the Mefarshim. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz discusses this. It's a very interesting concept, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. If somebody is wealthy, his wealth doesn't depend on the poverty of another individual or on the wealth of another individual. I could be wealthy and another person not be wealthy. One has nothing to do with the other. Similarly with health. I could, Baruch Hashem, be healthy, and my being healthy has nothing to do with somebody else's being or not being healthy. Our Gemara, however, is teaching us that the Ashrah Shechina, for Godel be Yisrael to be worthy to have the Shechina, it depends on his generation. And even though he is an individual who is worthy of the Ashrah Shechina, but if his generation is not worthy of it, then he can't have it. And Mefarshim explain why. One explanation the Mefarshim give is that Ashra's Shechina is not only dependent on my Madrega, on my situation. It requires the Tzibur. It requires the status of the Tzibur that I be able to achieve Ashra's Shechina. And if I live in a time and a place where the people aren't worthy of that, that will detract from my ability to have Ashra Shechina. But then the Mefarshim go another explanation. They say that the job of the Gedolei Yisrael, of the Rabbonim, is to be able to relate to the people who they live with, that they should be able to influence them, they should be able to teach them. And if there's going to be too wide of a gap between these two groups, between the Gedolei Yisrael, between the Rabbonim and the Hamoinam, that will be a bridge impossible to take, and they won't be able to teach them properly. If the Dor is a weak Dor, then the Rabbonim can't be too strong because the gap will be too wide. Interesting, there's a Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba in the Tshuva says that if someone will come and say, the Rashba says this already in his time, the Rashba is a Rishon, if somebody will come and say that he's a Navi, we don't accept anybody who says that he's a Navi, whatever type of proof he tries to bring that he is. What's his Raya? Says the Rashba. If our Gemara tells us that already in the time of Hillel, there was no one worth, that the Dor wasn't the Dor that we could have Nevi'im. Certainly nowadays, and the Rashba says in his times, and certainly in our times, no one could say that they're a Navi. So says the Gemara, Shlosh mehem ruim shetamed lehem, shetish lehem shechina kamash rabbeinu. Shlosh mehem, the other 30, ruim shetamed lehem cham kishu benun. And the Mefarshim explain, what the Gemara is trying to say is because actually we find that the sun stood for Moshe Rabbeinu also. What the Gemara is trying to differentiate is between the 30 greatest Talmidim versus the 30 weakest Talmidim. And what was the characteristic of the 30 weakest Talmidim? They had the same characteristic as Yeshua, that the Gemara says regarding Yeshua. Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama, pnei Yeshua kepnei Levana. Moshe was like the sun, Yeshua was like the moon. Yeshua was only a reflection of his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. So too here, the 30 greatest Talmidim were great in their own right. The other 30 were only reflection of the Rebbe. Hello? Esrim Beinanim. And there were 30 in between. The Farshim also point out that actually Hillel probably had more than 80 Talmidim. In fact, some say 80 doesn't mean 80. 80 means 80 peers, which means 160. The Gemara is pointing out these 80 Talmidim. Gadol Shebekulon, the greatest of this group, was Yonasan ben Aziel. Katan Shebekulon, the smallest of the group, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But as the Kesef Mishnah points out, it's not to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was actually the smallest. As we know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai actually was and we'll discuss this later, Mitzvah Shem, was somebody who was part of the Messiah of teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. When the Gemara says here he was the Katan Shebekulon, explains the Kesef Mishnah, means that, as we're about to learn, they were familiar in all subjects, not just in Divrei Torah. And in those subjects, Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't such a great expert. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shleiniach Mikru Mishnah Gemara, Chumash Mishnayis Gemara, Halachas Vagodis, the Duke Torah means he knew how to learn every extra word in Chumash, the Duke Seferim, he knew how to explain all the various Rabbonans, Kalim V'chamurim, Kal V'chomis, Gzeirah Shavos, Kufos, he was able to figure out the astronomical cycles, the solar system, the lunar system, Ugematrios. Gematrios means either that you could take a word and explain it as an abbreviation, or Gematrios represent the value of words which are used to teach us halachas. And in fact, many Mefarshim use this Gemara to teach us that gematrios are a legitimate way of learning halacha. In fact, I saw a very interesting word. We know there's the famous Sefer written by Rav Yaakov Balaturim, the Balaturim on Chumash. And if anyone ever learns the Sefer Balaturim al Chumash, he will see that the Balaturim very, very often quotes Gematrios. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, Rav Yaakov Balaturim knew that a Sefer is going to have many Gematrios. And he knew that people don't really treat Gematrios as a legitimate way of explaining and learning Halacha. So he specifically called his Sefer Baal HaTurim to say that just like the Torah Shulchan Aruch, we all recognize, is the foundation of Halacha, and it was written and it's called the Torah, this Sefer is also called Baal HaTurim. It's the same as that Sefer, and it should be, and the Gematrios and the Drushes that are quoted in that Sefer should be taken very seriously. However, there are other Paiskim that suggest that Gematrios are not necessarily on the same level. The proof is that in the Braisa that we say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'shloish Esri Midas, HaTorah in the Dreshes, Kavachoyim, Gzeri Shava, the Braisa doesn't quote Gematrios, so we see that Gematrios are not like the other Shloish Esri Midas. Umishalos Kovsim, Mishalos Shulim, different parables, which we know that makes it easier to understand concepts. Sichas Shadim, the conversation of the Shadim. Sichas the column of the palm trees. I saw two pshatim in this. One pshat is that actually, if one listens carefully, he can understand what the palm trees say to each other. Another pshat is that he's able to identify, the person is able to identify the palm trees, where is the proper and good place to plant different types of trees. Sichas Malach Yesharis, the conversations of the Malachim, V'dava Godl, V'dava Katan, great things and small things. What a Dava Godl, says the Gemara, the Maisa Makava, which is taught us in Sefer Yecheskel. Dava Katan is Havayis Dabai V'Rava. So the Mefarshim obviously all ask a number of questions. One question is, if we're trying to explain the Dava Katan refers to the different questions that we learn in Shas, that the Meroim ask in Shas, why are Abaye V'Rava specifically mentioned? So the Mefarshim explain, because we find that particularly Abaye V'Rava, the Marik says this Pshat, had many, quote, many brises, and then point out contradictions and inconsistencies in these brises. And that's why they're considered the example of questions. But then obviously the Mefarshim ask, how can we call the Havayis Dabai V'Rava, Shas that we learn, Abai V'Rava, to be a Dava Katan, a small issue? So there's a word from the Baal Shem. So some Mefarshim explain that the people who wrote the Gemara, they were able to understand Abaye V'Rava's questions. To them, it wasn't so hard to understand the Gemara, and that's why they call them Dava Gadol V'Dava Katan. Another pshat, that the Maisa V'Kava is only learned, only great people have permission to learn the Maisa V'Kava, versus Gemara, Shas, is open to everyone. So that's why the Maisa V'Kava is called the Dava Gadol, and the Havayis Dabai V'Rava called the Dava Katan. But the Baal Shem says a beautiful word. He says what the Gemara means to say is that it matters what approach we take to when we learn. Somebody can learn a piece of Gemara, and his attitude to that piece of the Gemara is that it's a Dava Katan. It's nothing so serious. Or somebody could open up a Gemara and recognize that when he's learning this Gemara, he's learning Maisa Merkava. He thinks he's learning Masechta Bava Basra. He thinks he's learning issues about Yerusha. He's not learning issues about Yerusha. He's learning Maisa Merkava. Every piece of Gemara is a Maisa Merkava. For as the Baal Shem goes on to explain, he says, this is the difference between us and everyone else. Klal Yisrael recognizes that there's Kedusha, that there's holiness in everything that we touch and everything we learned. The Havayis Dabai V'Rava, the discussions about monetary issues that we are learning, represent Maisa Merkava. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, the Pasuk says, Emer al Kahanim B'nei Aaron. And Rashi says, Lahazir gedoylem al ktanim. Explain the Mefarsha, what does Rashi mean, Lahazir gedoylem al ktanim? Lahazir gedoylem, that the gedoylem have the obligation, our rebbes have the obligation to teach us al ktanim, that there's nothing cotton, that everything is godl, that every aspect of Torah learning is great and important. So now we see how great and how great was the wisdom of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. L'hanchal oyvei yesh v'tzrisayim amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills up the treasures. And Farshim point out that what does the Gemara mean with the word v'tzrisayim amalei? That as the Gemara just said regarding Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that he was such an expert in so many different fields. They say, however, explain the Mefarshim, when it came to Torah learning, he spent time, energy, effort, and understanding and learning. The other sciences that he learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it come easier to him, but to say him a Malay, that he should be able to devote more time to learning. Ask the Gemara, V'chimiach, the Kotesh B'kulam Kain, if Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who was the smallest, this, he was so great, so Yonifson Mazil, who was the greatest, it goes on and goes without question. And in fact, says the Gemara, Amra Laval Yonifson Mazil, the Bishar Shayoshiv voice Bataira, Kal Oif Shaparecha Lov Nisraf. Any bird that was near him would get burnt. So Farshim explained, what does it mean that any bird would get burnt? So some say that when he learned, the Malachim, who are like fire, would come next to him. And they would get, and there was fire around them from the Malachim who were joining him in his learning. Another pshat, is just like that when the Torah was given, Be'esh. Every time Yonasin ben Aziel sat down to learn, it was like Kabbalah Satira all over again with the fire. Another pshat that I saw is that oif represents the word ayefus, exhaustion. Every time Rabbi Yonasan ben Aziel would sit down to learn, kol oif, any ayefus, any exhaustion, any problems, everybody has their own issues, as he would sit down to learn, and he would concentrate on his learning, and all other matters of the world, parech would fly away. Ask the Mefarshim, if Yonasan ben Aziel was so great, that fire, and the fire came around him when he learned, and the birds got burnt, what would the status of Hillel, who we said a moment ago was his Rebbe? So some of Farshim say that indeed, by Yonasan ben Aziel, it was birds that were in his Dalet Amos got burnt. Hillel was even greater than anything even further than Dalet Amos got burnt. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw from the Kotzker is as follows. The greatness of a Talmud Chacham is that he is a person who hides his greatness. Yonasan ben Aziel wasn't able to completely conceal his greatness, and therefore there was a fire around him, and any bird that came close to him would get burnt. Hillel, who was on a greater madrega, was able to conceal his greatness, and therefore there was no fire around him, as great as he was. The Mefarshim point out, here Al Gemara has pointed out that Yonasan ben Aziel was greater than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But if that is indeed the case, why do we find, as I mentioned earlier, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is included in the line of the Messiah, whereas Yonasan ben Aziel is not? So some explain, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai learned Torah both by Shammai and Hillel, versus Yonasan ben Aziel only learned by Hillel, and great Talmud Chacham, to be able to pass on the Messiah, has to be someone who learned and experienced all type of learning. Another pshat is exactly this Gemara. As we just learned, Yonasan ben Aziel was somewhat inaccessible. His learning, there was a fire around him. In order to be part of the Messiah of Torah of Klal Yisrael, the Rebbe has to be accessible to his Talmidim. Not with a fire around him. On the contrary, the Talmidim have to be able to come close to the Rebbe. And that's why Yochanan ben Zakkai was in the Messiah and not Yonasan ben Aziel. Says the Mishnah, Oimaz Ebeni Neman. If somebody says, this is my son, he is believed. And the Gemara will explain soon in Mitzvah Shem regarding what this is relevant to. However, I saw both from Rekiva Eger and the Chazon Ish, it's only in a situation that the person who says this is a person who's typically trustworthy. Otherwise, he would not be Neman. If someone says, Ze'ochi, this is my brother, the Allah is Ein Neman, he's not believed. Ze'ochi Ein Neman, V'yite imay b'chelkai. Which means as follows. Machlokes Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom, how to understand this Gemara. The Rashbam explains it as follows. There was a father who had two sons, Reuven and Shimon. And the father died and left two fields. And now Reuven says the Levi is my brother. So if Levi wasn't here, they would have divided the Yerusha, each one of them, Reuven and Shimon, getting a field and a half. Reuven believes Levi, says the Levi's his brother. So Reuven is going to have to give up his half a field. Shimon, who doesn't say it, will keep his field and a half. That's the Rashbam's explanation. The Rabbeinu Gershom's explanation is that Reuven has to give up half of what he inherited from his father. Now, Mace, if this unknown brother, Levi, passes away, Yachsru Nechaslu Mekoimam, which means the part that this unknown brother got from Reuven, doesn't go back to Shimon, it only goes to Reuven. However, Nafla Nechaslu Mekoimacher, as the Rashbam explained by the Tosfos Yontov explains, that let's say this person, this alleged brother, had a different mother, and he yashined his mother. His mother died, and he yashined her estate, and now he dies, and he doesn't have children, so his brothers are his yarshim. Is the Allah Yirshu Echav Imai, both brothers share this estate. And of course, the Mitzvah Shem will need to understand in the Gemara how this works. If now all of a sudden Shimon is a brother, till now Shimon wasn't considered a brother. So the Mishnah began with the words, if somebody says Zebani, he's Neman. Ask the Gemara Lamai Hilchasa regarding what halach is this. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul L'Yarshoi, that this son will be a Yairish, Ulifters Ishtim and Yibam, and his wife will, if he has no other children, will be now be exempt from Yibam. Ask the Gemara B'Yarshoi that this son, whom he identified to be his son, is going to be his Yairish Pshita. Certainly, he has the right to say that this is his son. Why? Because he has a migui. Because the migui is that he could have given it to him as a gift, and since he has that ability to give him as a gift, give him all of his possessions as a gift, therefore, with that migui, he could certainly yashin him. The Rashbam, however, and Tosfos say that if we're learning our Gemara, that he has this damana because he has a migui, that he could have given him his assets as a gift, point out to Rashbam that's only in a situation only for the assets that he currently has. But assets that he's going to get later, which he was unable to convey at this point, he has no migui, and that he cannot give to the son as the Yerusha. The Rashba and the Rambam have a different explanation in our Gemara. They say the reason the father is Neman is not because of the migui, but it goes back to the concept that we've learned earlier, a concept that the father has yaker, and just like a father can testify that his son is a bechor or his son is a ben gerusha, he certainly has the same ability, according to the Rashba and the Rambam, to identify a stranger as a son. And he's a full-fledged son, and he'll get a share not only in what he has currently, but anything that he will also receive in the future. The reason the Rashbam doesn't agree with the opinion of the Rambam, the Rashbam and Tosfos don't agree with the Rambam and the Rashba, because the Rashbam's opinion is that we only say Yakir on somebody who we know is already a son. And now the question is he a Bechor? Is he Ben Gerusha? But here, what we're referring to an individual that we have no knowledge is a son at all, we can't employ, according to the Rashbam, the concept of Yaakov. So ask the Gemara again. The din of somebody saying Zebni Neman is obvious. Why does the Mishnah have to teach it to us? Answers the Gemara, Lifter es ishtoy min ayibim itzruchalei. To that his wife will also be exempt from Yibim based on this testimony. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Tanina. This is also something that we learned in a Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Misham b'shas misosoy, if somebody says, as a shrimira. And the truth of the matter is, the Rashbam says that even though that's the case cited, it doesn't have to be b'shas misa. It's at any point. And the Pnei Yeshua brings a raya that the Rashbam is correct, because the Pnei Yeshua says that our Gemara is going to ask a question in a moment from a different case. And why didn't the Gemara just answer? The Gemara is about to ask a kasha. So why doesn't the Gemara differentiate if it was said b'shas misa or not b'shas misa? Obviously, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not the factor here. So again, Misham b'shas misosoy, yeshli banim, I have sons, or ye neman, yeshli achim eninamim. So the question is that you see you could release a wife from Yibam. So what does our Mishnah have to teach it to us? Again, answers the Gemara. Hasam, the Mishnah over there refers to a case that we don't know that the man had children. Such a situation, he could release his wife from Yibam, as the Rashbam explains. Because the Mishnah there is referring to a person that we didn't know neither had children nor brothers. So that's why wife could get remarried without anything, because we have a sex faker. Maybe he has children, and even if he doesn't have children, he maybe doesn't have brothers. Hocho, Amish is referring to a situation that Afagav, the Muchzuk Lombaach, we know, we have a chazaka that this person has a brother, still, by making this statement, he is believed. Amrav Yosef, Amrav Yehuda, Shmuel, Vemneima Amru, Zebni Neman. Why if somebody says Zebni, is he believed? Hoyel, or Baal Sha'am Gerashti, is Ishti Neman. Since, just like a husband has a right to say, to be believed that he divorced his wife. Why? Again, we're learning with the Rashbam's Pshat, because there's a Migui that he could have divorced his wife at any time. Similarly, he has a nemanis to say that this is my son and he will be believed because he could give it to him as a gift anyway. Even though the Rishonim debate that when a person says Ze Ishti, he's Neman because he has a Migui, that the Migui is that he could have he could divorce at this point, but if he divorces her, she will be. The question is: when he says this, will she be mutter to a kohen? So some rishonim say, since his whole nemanis is based on the fact that he could have divorced her at this point, she will not be married, allowed to marry a kohen when he says that this woman is not my wife or this woman is something else, because his own nemanis is based on the migui that he could have divorced her, and a divorcee may not marry a kohen. Other Rishonim, however, hold, the Ramban's opinion, hold that even though it's based on a migui, once he has the nemanis that she's not his wife, she will even be allowed to marry a kohen. And Rabbi Chanan explains that the machloikis is based on how to understand the migui. Doesn't the migui represent namonis, or does migui represent a birur? If migui represents that this person should be trusted namonis, then the halacha is that he'll be believed, that she'll be allowed to marry a kohen. If it represents only a birur, then she will not be allowed to marry a kohen. Amar Rav Yosef, Mari de Avram, asks a question of Avram Avinu. Tali b'tanya b'dalai tanya. The halacha that you're allowed to say this is your son is a Mishnah. the halacha that you said Gerashtis Ishti is not a Mishnah or a Braisa. So how can we say that the Mishnah's din is based on a din that's not quoted in a Mishnah or a Braisa? The Farshim say, why did he mention Mari da Avram? So some Farshim say that whenever a good question is asked, we call the question a question asked by Avram Avinu. Because we find Avram Avinu was the first person that asked a good question. He asked, there must be somebody running the world. So whenever a good question is asked, it's called a question, we mention Avram Avinu. Another pshat is, as we know, Rabbi Yosef got sick, and Rabbi Yosef forgot his learning, and that's why there's sometimes difficulties in different things that he says. And Avram Avinu, the Gemara says, Magol Yis Toiva, there was a great shul, Tuluya B'Tzavar Shal Avram Avinu, hanging around the neck of Avram Avinu, and whoever saw that stone would get Nisrapa. So here, Rabbi Yosef was saying something a little difficult to understand, maybe because of his physical, mental situation, and he davened to Avram Avinu's stone should heal him. Al-Yitma Hach-Yitma. Amr Yudah Mishmul. Neymar Amr Zebni Neman. Why, if somebody says, this is my son, as he believed, Hoyal Ubiyadu L'Garsha. The reason is that since it's his power to divorce his wife, he could also say that she's not obligated to have Yibum because he had a son, because he already has a son. Amr of Yosef, Hashta Amrit Hoyel. Now that we said this concept, Baal Shagoma is Grashti Stemon, so he takes it a step further. A husband could say, I divorced my wife, and he would believe, Hoyel Biyoda Lagasha. Since he could at any time divorce her. Say to Paiskim, this Hoyel doesn't apply nowadays. This din doesn't apply. Because the entire concept of Al Gemara is that why does a person believe to say he divorced his wife? Hoyel will be Yad Lagarsha. But nowadays we can't divorce our wives Bal Karcha without her consent. So we don't have the Hoyel will be Yad Lagarsha. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar of Yitzhak by Yosef Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shigrama is Grashdis Ishti Einan Nemen. Menapich Rav Sheshes b'yodai. When Rav Sheshes heard this, he waved his hand dismissively and said, "Azalei hoyel de Rav Yosef." There goes the hoyel de Rav Yosef said that since a husband could divorce his wife, he's believed to say that he did. Aini, is it asked him, is that true that that Rav Yochanan holds that a husband is not believed to say he divorced his wife? V'amar b'chibar aben amar Rav Yochanan baal shalma grashtis ishti neman. It's more like Kasha. Kala Mafreya. He's not believed Lamafreya to say that he already divorced her. Kala Abad to say that she is divorced and that she's not considered Nashus Ish for the future, since Hoyal Biyadu Lagasha, he's Nem. Ibeilhu. Amla Mafreya. If he said he divorced his wife in the past, Ma'alam Hamdullah Abad, do we accept his testimony at least towards the future? Do we separate his words and not accept them for the past, but accept them for the future? Or loy palginin de bura. Rameri rizvit machloikus. Charam amalpginin, that we do divide the husband's statement. The charam aloy palginin, we don't divide it. Ask the Gemara, mashtam de Rava, why should this be different than the case that Rava spoke about? Dama Rava, ish plani baal ishti, if somebody said a man had relations with my wife, huva achmet starfal haragoy, he can be a witness regarding the man and say that the man did an aveira, that he had relations with an eishes ish, lahar goy, only on the man, v'loy lahar goy, but not on the woman, given that the woman is his wife, and a person can't say testimony on his wife. So we see palgina de buroy, we accept his testimony on the man, but not on his wife. Answers the Gemara, it's not dissimilar. There, it's betrayed gufa palgina. We're dividing his testimony between the man and his wife. Here it's Bechad Gufa, to accept his testimony for the future and not accept his testimony for the past, Loi Palginan, that we can't